God, I ask that you touch the minds and the hearts of your people. Saturate their minds and heart with love, saturated with understanding, saturated with wisdom. Father God, that they will hear your word, not looking at Diane, but looking to Christ, who is the answer, the author and the finisher of our faith. So look to Christ for everything that you need. And Father God, I ask that you create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, that I may walk in a way that's pleasing and acceptable to you, and that will bring glory and honor to you and you alone. Amen. So we're going to go to Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, a very familiar scripture. And this particular scripture was penned, as you guys know, by the Apostle Paul. But in case you didn't know, he was in prison when he penned this scripture. And a lot of us are in prison right now, spiritually, mentally, and even some physically. But there's power in the name of Jesus. And he, in this scripture, we're going to read it, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The Apostle Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. There we go again, Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. So in that, he was telling us not to be anxious about anything, but to go to God in prayer. So if we look at that scripture, and we're going to pick it apart a little bit here. How can we do that and not be anxious? How can we go through life and not be anxious? Experiencing the things that we've experienced in 20 and 21, how can we not be anxious? Well, he gives us a recipe right here. He says, by prayer. First of all, you got to go to him in prayer. And then once you prayed, you want to thank him. Thank him in advance. Trusting and believing that he has answered that prayer. Trusting and believing that he is faithful and true. He will not fail you. Then you want to take your cares to God. Take them to God. Every care, no matter how big or how small, take them to God. You can sometimes come to me. You might be able to go to pastor, but we're to take our cares to God, because he will answer every care. He will bring a solution to every situation. But the end result in this scripture is talking about peace. The peace of God that the world can't give and the world can't take away. The peace of God that will transcend all understanding. You know, I don't understand how I'm standing here today, but it's because of the peace of God. The peace of God that kept me when I wanted to give up. The peace of God kept me when I wanted to turn away and turn my back. The peace of God kept me. So the peace of God. Well, some of you may know my story, but I'm going to share it with you for those of you who don't know it. My story, if you all recall, the last time I ministered, I had the privilege of ministering before God's people. The entitle of my message was, All is Well with My Soul. And oh, here comes old sneaky devil. He gonna creep in. He swooped in. He said, I'm gonna see how well your soul is anchored in the Lord. He said, I'm gonna see. And as you know, I lost my son in March to a tragic automobile accident. I don't know all the details. I don't know the whys. I don't even know the exact when. But God knows. God knows. And I was angry. I was hurt. I was bitter. I was in pain. I was brokenhearted. But God. But God. And I was angry because I was angry at the system. Because the police did not notify me of even of the accident. I was angry at the hospital because they did not notify me. I was at work. And I received a phone call, people, a phone call from the coroner's office saying, do you have somebody here? I said, I hope not. And then he said, well, do you have any children? I said, yes. And I started to name my children. He said, well, we got that one right here. And I just lost it. I work with mentally challenged children. Autistic and Down syndrome, and they go around all day. Some of them are verbal, some are nonverbal, and they mumble, they make sounds, the ones that are nonverbal, and they yell a lot, and you have to say, shh, And that's just their way of communicating because they cannot verbalize words. But that day, I think I let out a scream so loud that they stopped in their tracks because, like I said, I was hurt. And then I called my pastor. I said, "Pastor, he's gone." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Wendell is gone." Before I could get from my job to my house, my pastor and my first lady, they were sitting at my doorstep. He didn't say anything. He kind of just observed like he does, like he's looking at me now. But he observed, and just his presence was a comfort and was strength for me. And then my first lady over there, when we went to make the preparations, I didn't have to ask her. She said, "I'm going." She said, "Where you going? What's the address? I'll be there." That's the kind of people that we serve under. I don't have family here. I got a brother and some nieces and nephews. But my family is back in Chicago. But this is my extended family right here. This is my family. You all are my family. And I know Pastor Virgil, he had a loss around the same time. Sister Rosetta, Sister Adrian. But my story was that I like I said, I was angry. I wasn't angry at God. I was angry at myself even. I was ashamed. And you know why I was ashamed? Because I was grieving. And I tried to fake and shake it. I put on a face like everything was okay. But God knew. And one day I stood right back there where Sister Vicky is sitting. And tears were streaming down my face. Pastor just came up from behind. And that was it. I just melted in his arms. Sister Manita, that's my pastor. So I was angry at myself because I said, "You're a Christian. You are a minister of God. You're not supposed to grieve as the world grieves. Because the world don't have hope. But we got hope, people. We got hope." And I said, I shouldn't be isolating myself. I shouldn't feel the pain that I feel. And the Holy Spirit said, Wait a minute. Jesus wept. Do you all remember Jesus wept over the death of his friend Lazarus? Jesus wept. So he said, "It's okay if you weep. It's okay if you weep." He said, "I'm here to bottle up every tear that you shed." And the title of my message today, "It's Not All Is Well With My Soul," even though it is, it's called Consumed. Consumed. You see, people, I was consumed by the grief. I was consumed by the pain. But I'm going to define consumed for you. It's to absorb all of one's attention and energy. I would get out of bed in pain. I would go to bed in pain. I would go to work in pain. But because I was consumed in grief, God said, "That's okay. Because I'm the healer. I'm Jehovah Jireh." He says, "So grieve if you must." And then I want to define for you consume. It means to eat, drink, and ingest. You know, we're supposed to drink so many. How many bottles of water are we supposed to drink a day to have a healthy body? Well, people, you know what else? We have to ingest the word of God for a healthy spiritual body, for your spiritual man. I'd like to share a quote with you right now. It's by someone named Tony Kane. And the quote reads, "Death takes the body. God takes our soul, takes the soul. Our minds hold the memories. Our heart keeps the love. Our faith in God's word lets us know we will meet again." Those dry bones, they're going to get up one day. They're going to reconnect. And we're all going to be in that heavenly place, resting with Jesus, praising with the angels, One day, so each song ministered to my soul this morning. Each song ministered to me. I don't know what about you, but it ministered to me. And we have the assurance of this, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And I'd like for us to read that together. And whoever gets it first, please read it, because my phone is a little slow. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This scripture helps us to have the assurance that we will meet again with our loved ones. We will, those that have died in Christ. Anybody have it? Amen. Thank you, Sister Stories. Thank you so much. You know, back on my pastor, I can't praise him enough. Can't praise him enough. Sister Monita say, you know, there's a grief session, counseling session going on in my mind. I'm like, I don't need that. I'm a Christian. I don't need that. But you know what, people? Just like God gave doctors, nurses, the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that they have to help to heal, help to not heal, because God's the only one that heals, but to help to administer what we need for that physical healing in our bodies. He also gave the wisdom and the knowledge to those psychiatrists, psychologists, as black people. Excuse me, I don't mean any harm, because Brother David, you my brother. You are my brother. I don't care what color you are. You my brother. So, but anyway, he gave them wisdom and knowledge to be able to help us. As black people, we think we don't need to be on no psychiatrist. I ain't crazy. It ain't about being crazy. We all need help at one time or another. And if God educated them enough to be able to do these things, don't be ashamed to go. Don't be ashamed to reach out. Because in this class, they have an acronym. It's called DEAR. Not D-E-A-R, but D-E-E-R. And it stands for drink. And I say drink of the living waters. It's the E is for eat. Eat God's word. It will nourish your soul. E is for exercise. Exercise your faith, holding on to God's promises, holding on to his unchanging hand. R is for rest. Rest in his presence. And I always looked at rest as, you know, you go home, you take off your shoes when you get off of work, and you kick your shoes off, take your clothes off, and you sit down and rest. That is a rest. But that's not the rest that it's talking about when it says rest in God. Because the rest, whenever you rest, you even got to, you got to feel comfortable. You got to feel secure around who you're with. So when we rest in Jesus, we're resting in the security of his peace. We're resting in the security of his love, resting in the security of the hope that his word brings us. So that's the rest. That sleep wears off. You get up and you're tired again. But his rest is everlasting. His rest will keep you. His rest will keep you and enable you to be able to go on when you don't want to go on. Go on when you can't go on. His rest. Jesus rest. Nobody else. The rest that we get from sleeping, like I said, it's temporal. It's temporary. I get tired today. Guess what? I got to go back and rest again. I got to rest again. And we remember in the book of John, before Jesus' death, he assured his disciples that he was not leaving them alone. And guess what? That was an assurance for me as well, and for you. He left the Holy Spirit as a comforter for them. The Holy Spirit does more than comfort people. It leads, it guides, it directs. But guess what? Like I tell my kids in school, you got to put on your listening ears. Put your listening ears on so that you can hear. And then in Matthew 4:4, God tells us to consume his word. You might say, I don't remember seeing that in the word. But he does. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? Satan tried to tempt him, say he's going to give him all of the kingdoms. How you going to give me something that I already own? Then he tried to tempt him with food. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of the Lord. So this was nourishment to our souls. So we wonder sometimes, when the tempter came, he caught Jesus when he was alone. He catches you when you're vulnerable. When you're vulnerable, that's when he comes. He's sneaky. He's crafty. but his tactics are the same from back in the Garden of Eden. They're the same. So we just have to dig down into the Word of God, consume His Word that you know it. Even if I ain't got this phone, you ain't got that Bible, know the Word. Get it down in your heart. So when you need it, you can pull it up. You can pull it up. Because we ain't going to always have a Bible, because you know in some countries, they can't hold them. They can't carry a Bible. They can't even say the name of Jesus. So people, this is a privilege that we have. Sitting here today is a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to call on the name of Jesus. It's a privilege to come and fellowship as we are. It is a privilege. And we so often, including myself, I'm guilty. I'm going to be transparent. We take it for granted. But we need to wake up. Wake up and, as they say, smell the coffee. Smell the coffee. So consuming His Word means to take it in. This will enable us to destroy what was intended to destroy us. Take in that Word and consume it. Eat of it. Drink of it. And that way you're prepared. You're nourished enough that you can try to destroy what was meant to destroy you. And we know that the Word of God says what the devil meant for evil, what will God do with it? He'll turn it around for our good. He will turn it around. And I love my sister back here. Not that I don't love all of y'all, but me and Sister Story, we've become prayer partners. And she came to me one Sunday sitting over there, and she gave me a book. And she said, one day we were on Bible talk, and she said, I heard your pain. And she reached out to me. Not that nobody else has not reached out to me, but her being one of the newest members of the church, that touched me. That truly touched me. So you guys know the story of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. But anyway, the Hebrew boys, as a confession of their faith, they told Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I'm going to throw you in the furnace if you don't bow down and worship and serve my God. They said, throw me in there because I know my God can deliver. He said, I know that my God can deliver. But guess what? If he don't, it ain't because he couldn't. If he don't, I'm still not going to serve and worship your God. So as a testament to their faith, they stood on the Word of God. As a testament. You know, we talk about our testimony, helping somebody else. You just don't know how much a word can mean. A word, not your word, not my word, but the Word of God. The Word of God, because everything that is done for us, we should be giving God glory. We should give God glory. I don't stand here of my own accord. I don't stand here of my own power, but it is in the power of the Holy Spirit that I stand, in the power of the living God, the living God, the living God. He lives on the inside of you and me, each and every one of us. Yes, I won't deny it. The enemy expected me to be destroyed by grief, but oh, God, take that grief. And he's using it to glorify himself. He's using it to help somebody else. I don't know who is helping, but I know one thing. It helped me because he has healed me from grief. And that's not to say that I won't cry. That's not to say that I won't hurt. And that is definitely not to say that I won't miss my son. I was walking down the hallway the other day. Kids going up and down the hall. I looked at this little boy. He didn't resemble anybody to me. I mean, just another little boy. And I just boo-hoo. It's just something. And the thought came to my mind, he will not see his son go to school. But that's okay. That's okay. Because God says, I'll be a father to the fatherless, a mother to the motherless. Oh, yeah. And there are going to be some days that I'm going to cry. Yet today I stand before you in the power and the might of God, with tears streaming down my face. If tears should shed, they're not tears of sadness. They're tears of joy, because I know we're going to meet again in the ever after. We're going to meet again. Oh, God. So I got to keep my eyes focused, not on what's behind, not on the pain, but on Jesus, who is the prize. I got to keep my eyes focused on Jesus, because he is the answer to everything that we need. He is Jehovah Jireh. And that's why I'm able to stand here today, because of the promises of that glorious day when I'll see my mama and my daddy. I'll see my son, all of my loved ones that died in Christ. So if you don't know Christ, get to know him. Get to know him so that you can be holding of that promise. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you today. I thank you today for your healing power. I thank you, Lord, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You know the ins and the outs. You know all. God, I thank you that you reign in power. You reign. God, oh, God, I thank you today. And I praise you, Lord. I praise you for who you are in our lives. I praise you for what you have done, what you're doing. And, oh, God, I thank you most of all for Jesus, who died on Calvary, that we could live and have life more abundantly. And for this, I thank you in his matchless name today. And I give you glory, honor, and praise for everything that you have done. And, Father God, I praise you. I praise you because you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the great I am. You are that bright and morning star. You are that lily of the valley. You are hope in a hopeless world. Oh God, you are light in darkness. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you today. I praise you, oh Lord. I praise you. And Father God, let us reach out and touch someone. Let us reach out and touch someone and let them know who Jesus is. This man that walked on water, this man that opened the Red Sea, let them come to know him as their Savior, their Redeemer, their hope, and their joy. And it is to you that I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.